Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football.
Throws it down the field. It's caught at the 10, and this game is over. The Cowboys win it.
Third down of the drive, and it's DeAndre Hopkins getting his first catch. Oh, what a move! DeAndre Hopkins all the way in for the touchdown! A spectacular open field move for his fifth touchdown of the year.
Darren Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers!
Right on cue, Joe.
Aaron Rodgers screaming, "I still own you," to Chicago. DeAndre Hopkins, beautiful touchdown by him. Lots of ins, lots of outs. We'll go over that for the next 60 minutes and one more game to go between the Bills and the Titans. That one tonight to wrap up week 6. Looking ahead to week 7, kicking off on Thursday Night Football on NFL Network between the Browns and the Broncos in Cleveland. This is Good Morning Football, presented to you by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're in New York City. My name's Kay Adams, Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Hall of Famer Chris Carter, and his football. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot to get to, plenty of highlights. It went down last night without Russell Wilson for the first time. He was on the sideline for Seattle up against Pittsburgh. How'd it go down?
Let's go to Heinz Field. This is the one that got blown up by Bane. And Heinz Ward was a kick returner.
Power was there.
Yeah. Geno, a lot of people wishing for Geno, wishing good things, including us here at the table. And he did have a good night, but just not enough. And then this is the fait accompli. It means the Steelers kick a field goal through the Pennsylvania night and go to 3-3 into the bye week. Huge issues in Seattle. They do not have it together right now, but T.J. Watt made the play of the weekend. Great weekend for the Watt brothers, 23-20. And afterwards, Mike Tomlin talked about it. Things were dire for a while a couple weeks ago.
I'm appreciative of the effort of our team, the ability to smile in the face of adversity and make the necessary plays at the critical moments. We got a lot of improvements to make, obviously. But boy, man, it's good to win a game like that, to get to know yourselves individually and collectively when faced with dire circumstances at times and seemingly when it's not going your way. So that was good.
Let's go Cardinals at Browns. Cliff Kingsbury tested positive for COVID-19, didn't travel with the team. Defensive coordinator Wayne Joseph, special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers, split head coaching duties. In the fourth quarter, injuries begin to mount. Chubb didn't play in this game. Kareem Hunt carted off with a calf injury. A.J. Green goes back to Ohio. Puts the Browns to sleep. Let me get a hug from my good friend J.J. Watt. Cardinals 37-14 remain undefeated at 6-0.
Tom Pelissero caught up with J.J. Watt after the big win. Take a listen.
I know there's a long way to go in this season, but at this stage in your career, to be 6-0, tell me how special it is to be a part of something like this.
It's great. It's why I'm here. To win football games. I'm having a lot of fun with these guys. We got great chemistry, great camaraderie. We're having a lot of fun, but the best part about it is I know that when we go back to work this week, it's going to be turn the page and go back to work, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Congrats, JJ. Thanks.
Thank you. Go Cards.
No Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline. Vance Joseph filling in beautifully. No Chandler Jones, and they still managed to get their hands all over Baker Mayfield. A beautiful defensive performance by the undefeated Cardinals team. But we have Ian Rappaport here with us this morning. Happy Monday to you. Let's talk about the Browns. Short week. They play on Thursday Night Football hosting the Denver Broncos, who have lost three straight. But there's a couple of injuries mounting for Cleveland. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, anything new?
Yeah, the Browns may be shorthanded heading into that matchup on Thursday night. We'll start with Baker Mayfield, who vowed to play Thursday. This is when he was talking after the game. He's going to have an MRI today just to determine how badly he re-injured that partially torn labrum on his left side. But he wants to play. He has been able to play through it. We'll see if he is able to do that this week. That's why he's wearing the harness. And we'll see if he is able to kind of withstand this throughout the season or if this is something that has to get addressed much more quickly. Meanwhile, for Kareem Hunt, a little bit of a calf pull here. And based on the initial diagnosis, it didn't seem too serious. He's going to have an MRI today. And these things do not heal quickly. So the likelihood is that he's going to miss some time, probably Thursday's game. We'll know more for sure later today. And then, of course, when you consider that Nick Chubb is also out, the Browns could be out two running backs heading into Thursday.
Appreciate the updates all around, Ian. And then, of course, the Cardinals are sitting there at 6-0, and they have completely obliterated two teams that we talk about a lot here on Good Morning Football. That Browns squad that you just gave us injury updates on, playing on a short week ahead in Week 7, and the Rams. We got to talk a little about this undefeated Cardinals team. We'll do that right now, right here at the breakfast table. Are they somehow underrated, even though they are so undefeated?
I believe that they are. I believe that because we haven't seen them do it in prime time and in the postseason. It's the same thing with, is Josh Allen, is he for real? Well, can he beat Mahomes? What about Baltimore? Can they get beyond their woes in the postseason? So, yes, there's a real thing to, I've seen these teams do it, so you give them more credit. But let's look at history of the league. In the last 10 years, 13 teams have started the season 6-0. Good news is, five of those teams go on to represent their conference in the Super Bowl.
Is that true?
So, yes, this is a real thing. You don't see good teams win six games in a row. Mm-hmm. So, for me, yeah, you see teams two-game win streak, three-game win streak, but you put together six and they've had injuries. This hadn't been clean. You know, typically you have no injuries, no turnovers. That's how you're able to get on a run like this. But they are so talented. And my last remark is, I don't care how long we've been playing this game. 99% of all the players that ever played, I'm talking about gold jackets, we need a system. There's only one Jim Brown, he didn't need a system. Mm-hmm. But the rest of us, we need a system. And that's what Kyler Murray has with Cliff Kingsbury. You need talented, explosive players around him, and you need enough protection. I remember when they hired Cliff Kingsbury, he said, can he protect him? Mm-hmm. They have put the protection there. They got the explosive players around you. What they're doing in Arizona, it's real.
6-0, an incredible win over the Rams by multiple scores. I like a lot of what they have going on, especially that they're shedding their dumb stereotypes about them, that they're a pretty boy team, a soft team, the cell phone breaks and all that stuff. No, they just had a really gritty win against a tough team without their head coach. Like, they seem to be mentally tough. And yet, I actually have to have an honest conversation here. There's some reason I don't trust them, and I can't put my finger on why. I think it's because they have a lot of guys who haven't been there or haven't succeeded once they're there. What do I mean? Like, obviously, Kyler doesn't have the playoff experience. I look at J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins as guys who go to the playoffs and lose in the first round. I look at A.J. Green as the same exact way. Mm-hmm. Like, my connective tissue with those guys as a fan is they're the guys who lose in the playoffs. Mm. They're 6-0. They look really good. I'm really impressed. If they had a playoff game this weekend in the divisional round and they're hosting the Packers or the Bucks or the Cowboys, am I picking them? I'm not yet. And maybe that's unfair to them because all they can do is win. So a lot of guys in the NFC have played a lot of good football and really meaningful games. And I still think they have some ground to make up in that regard.
But how they beat the Rams, does it change your opinion a little bit?
But they won by 17 points. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was an early October game. The burden they have of being 6-0 is, we're like, if you're 6-0, Chris is talking about you getting to the Super Bowl, not the wild card round, not the divisional round. Now they have the expectations. I love the Rams win.
They beat the Packers week 8. You feel differently?
Yeah. That's a massive one. It's in a couple weeks. Yes, I do.
They've done everything they possibly could do at this point. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they just went to Cleveland and won by more than 20 points. I feel you on that. And I don't think there's anything they can do. Even winning against the Packers, you probably still would take the Packers in the playoffs because all the stuff that the Packers have. And that's not anything that they can do in the regular season. They're going to have to do it in the playoffs. But for them to be where they are right now, that's pretty amazing. I thought yesterday's performance was incredible given the circumstances. So Kingsbury gets the positive test on Friday.
And totally.
He's not going to make the trip. He can't communicate with his team. Spencer Whipple called the plays on offense. Who is Spencer Whipple? He's 32 years old. He's the assistant wide receivers coach.
Wow.
He had never called a play at any level, ever.
How's this the guy?
This was the guy because it wasn't just him. It was also Cam Turner, who's the number two offensive guy. He also had COVID-19.
Incredible.
So they couldn't have their top two offensive minds there. They give the rock to Whipple and say, basically, whip it good, and he does.
All right.
It's 32 years old.
It's a cool whip.
And they kicked the Browns' butts yesterday. They went up and down the field. Everything they wanted. Colt McCoy played a big role in this game. He was actually almost like the number two guy on the coaching staff in the ear of them. That's adversity to me. You know, that's real. That's better than falling down 10 points, I'm going to come back. They're taking play calls from that guy. And Chris, I know you know Mark Whipple, his father, but you also know Spencer as a kid?
Yes, he went to St. Thomas, and St. Thomas in Fort Lauderdale produced all those players.
Yeah.
His dad used to come to practice. You could tell he was a gym rat early. Dad didn't want any benefits for the kid, and it's great to see how he's gone through the coaching realm. He's paid it, quality control, you know, volunteering, all those low jobs to get his call with COVID-19 breaks out. It was his day, and man, he stepped up to the moment.
I think Kyler has the highest ceiling. I think he could be better than Lamar and Mahomes. I think he's the best of both of them put together. Decision making in big games and big spots has always been a thing. He threw an interception every game in the first 3 weeks to start the season, yet they're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament, maybe not only to coaching, but a complete defensive performance even just yesterday. So if Kyler can limit those mistakes, I think they can win against, who do they have now? The Texans in week 7. Mm-hmm. Then they have TNF against the Packers.
They go.
In week 8. Big, big game on a short week. We'll be watching.
Let's go to the city. It's pronounced Chicagua. It stands for the land of the stinking onion. That's a real fact. Justin Fields had a pair, though. 17-14, we got a game here on a crisp fall afternoon in Chicago. Rajan first and goal. And then he gets hit, and he gets up, and he says this. He also says something about his entire life that we edited out. 24-14, he wins again. He's 502 at Soldier Field. That's an official record.
Take a look at the quarterbacks. Most wins at Soldier Field since 2008. That's the thing about onions, Kyle. They make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
They make you cry. I am this morning.
And they stink.
With your thoughts here. Chicago fans, I'd like to hear from you, but I'd like to know from the table what stood out to us most in the Packers' win over the Bears in week 6.
For a lot of this game, the Bears were in it, and you're like, okay, here's this cool new group with Fields
Herbert?
And Khalil Herbert going for 97 yards, and the two rookies, and the defense
Mooney.
In his face. Mooney looked good. Yeah. And then Rodgers does what he does. Always happens. Under 5 minutes to go at Soldier Field, he'll do some miraculous thing, whether it's Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb, or in this case himself. I don't even have a response to that. I own. I kind of like would have liked it if he said, we own you, but he said, I own you. I don't know. That was a little very personal. I own you. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's interesting. He does, though. It's crazy.
I know.
It's just what it is. Sorry.
What do you think, Chris?
It's actually sad because if you look at not only Aaron Rodgers, but if you go back to Brett Favre, now Brett wasn't as harsh to the Bears as Aaron is, but the last 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your number one rival, the one thing that Dennis Green, when he took over the Minnesota Vikings, he put the Green Bay Packers on the board. He said, I'm going to make this simple for you guys. Just so you know, it's just like the East, just like high school. East side versus the kids on the other side of the track. You need to know who you need to beat. And we need to beat the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. That was always number one. Ever since I arrived in Minnesota in 1990, there has always been, whoever the starting quarterback is, his jersey will be on the practice dummy in Minnesota. We went from Favre to Rodgers, and we don't mind it because we know you have to take that guy down. But the total incompetence of Chicago, the inability to have a steady coach, a steady quarterback in with their number one rival, that's really for one of the best rivals that we have in the NFL.
Is it a rivalry? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
it is. I liked the Chicago yesterday. They held their own, I thought. They had a sixth rounder out there racking up over 100 yards. Justin Fields, the moment did not look too big for him. I think there's payback to be had on Sunday Night Football at Lambeau. I'm a bigger fan than ever now of the Bears, Rodgers, because you cannot talk smack to Chicago like that.
I like it, Kay. I have a weird angle on this, and there's a lot of places to go. So Rodgers is always extremely respectful to the Chicago crowd. He goes out of his way to say, I love those people and everything. He says that he did the I own you thing because he got up and there was a lady who was giving him double birds. Yeah. Where is this lady?
Let's find her.
I have a theory that I'm not sure this lady exists. I think he got up and was peaking on adrenaline and looked up and had a moment where he said, you know what? This is probably my last time playing here as a Packer. My whole bleeping life, I've owned you guys.
There you go.
And I'm going to say this on the way out.
Say that again.
If there was a lady doing double birds, Chris, we got cameras now. We got wide angles. If we can find the guy who threw the beer on our test, we can find the double bird lady. I think she does not exist. And I'm okay with that.
Double bird lady gate?
If she's out there, if you know her, if there was a lady who did that, I want to know because I don't think she exists.
If you're not coming back to Soldier Field, that's the kind of thing you say on your ex.
Bye-bye.
Cowboys go into New England, where the Patriots have yet to win a game this season.
Wow.
And they come out as victors. Dak Prescott, win of the year for the Dallas Cowboys. What do you have to say afterwards?
Every game in the NFL is tough. But when you come up to a place like this with so much success, knowing what they're going against and how desperate you can say they are trying to get a win and trying to get things rolling in their end. Yeah, I mean, it was very important for us to come in and lock in knowing that we're going on to the bye week. We needed to focus in on this week and not what next week meant. And obviously coming off the three-game sweep that we couldn't put our hair down and we couldn't think that we've done something. So just to be able to, as I say, show the resiliency all night long in all those different moments and be able to have a chance at there at the end to win it and us to go do it speaks volumes.
Well, they've won five straight now. Week one loss. Dak Prescott dealing. He's got poise. He looks incredible out there. I don't know who's playing better football than him, but what we didn't see in that shot of him post-game, Ian Rappaport, is that he was wearing a protective boot after the game. He was seen limping after the game. A lot of fans out there in the NFC especially want to know what's the latest with Dak Prescott.
People hate to see the boot. Nothing worse than, this player was spotted in the boot after the game. The boot is not always bad. It is protective, and sometimes it is precautionary. For Dak Prescott, suffered a little bit of a calf pull at the end of the game. Kind of came down funny on his calf during that last play, then took a couple extra steps after, which is usually not a bad sign. He told reporters after the game, had he needed to go out and play a couple more plays, he would have been able to do it. He then joked about basically giving us something to talk about during the Cowboys' bye week. And bye week is important because now he really doesn't have to do anything for the next week except for make sure his calf gets better. He's going to get an MRI today, but it doesn't seem like it's serious. And Prescott assured reporters and the rest of the world that he would be fine and able to play in their game in 2 weeks. So, yes, something for us to talk about, like, literally right now, but didn't seem like much for the Cowboys to worry about.
Bye week coming at the perfect time for Dak Prescott and company. Thank you so much, Ian Rappaport. Talk to you throughout the day on some other injuries. We got to wrap up week six tonight, kickoff week seven between the Browns and the Broncos on Thursday. But that is five straight wins, guys, for Dallas. Did we learn anything about this overtime Cowboys win? I mean, hostile territory, Kyle. They're going up against one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time, and they didn't back down. They kept coming back.
Yeah, and Dak Prescott had the most passing yards ever against Bill Belichick. I think this is the best Cowboys team we've seen in 26 years. I mean that, and I know everybody freaks out on Mondays. I don't. I think with the Dak factor and the wide receivers and the defense and everything. So if it's so good and they've won so many games in a row, why am I so nervous watching the Cowboys? There's a palpable tension during the games, and I think it has to do with Mike McCarthy. And it's tough on a Monday morning when a team hasn't lost in 5 weeks to be like, how about the head coach? There's this thing with McCarthy, and it used to be with Andy Reid with the clock management. That was the joke, and it would come up every week, and Andy Reid earned that reputation a lot before he eventually shed it. I don't know if Mike McCarthy, you know, Chris, you talked earlier in the show about identity. I don't know if Mike McCarthy knows what kind of coach he wants to be, meaning sometimes is let's light my hair on fire and let's go for it on fourth down. He did earlier in the game with Zeke, they got stuffed. Late in the game, then he doesn't, and I just worry that this is a great roster and a great team in the divisional round or the wild card. When they go up against McVay or they go up against Bruce Arians, these guys who've been in all these playoff games and know exactly who they are, does Mike McCarthy have it in him to make the right decisions at the right time with the right players? I find myself nervous watching the Cowboys, and maybe it's a champagne problem that they're 5-1 and I'm nervous about their head coach, but I think the Cowboys fans know what I'm talking about. They're one bad decision away from a 14-3 season coming down in the first round of the playoffs.
Real quick, I mean, it's funny you say it because I was in a conversation with some folks and it was like, who's coach of the year? And it's Cliff Kingsbury and it's John Harbaugh and Brandon Staley. No one mentions Mike McCarthy. They're 5-1 right now and they're winning dominant fashion.
Great point.
But you're right. You feel this uneasiness of like, what is the strategy here? Because sometimes we go for
there's
it,
not a trust. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's going to take a long time, I feel like, for people to earn their trust in McCarthy up against those other guys.
I think McCarthy, when you go back and you look at his coaching resume, look at the quarterbacks and look at the type of seasons that they had under him. Like, they've had some explosive seasons, and that's what you're starting to see, the relationship between him and Dak Prescott. The reason why they don't mention him as potentially the coach of the year is because what Dan Quinn and also Al Harris, who's the assistant secondary coach there. Al Harris coached from 2013 to 2018 in Kansas City. Now, I played a lot against Al Harris. Now, you're talking about a guy who will jump your route and read your mail. He is doing exactly what Diggs does every time. I was thinking about Al Harris when he had the interception, but definitely the next play, because that was the same game plan we had against Al Harris.
Double.
You have to double move him. But Dan Quinn took this offseason and scouted himself, and he realized, I can't play this Seattle defense. The NFL's got too many good throwers. They spread you out. We have to play a little more man-to-man. So now the Cowboys and Dan Quinn, it didn't work in Atlanta. He is a great coordinator, a great assistant coach, who struggled as a head coach, but Al Harris and Dan Quinn have the back end of that Cowboys defense together, and that's what I continue to see week after week.
Yeah, and you see the score, and you're like, okay, Cowboys won in overtime. It was a good game. But, like, Cowboys had to bounce back from some things. Fourth down stuff with Dak when he fumbles into the goal line, and it's like, guys, just put it in the end zone. Like, there's frustration there. And then to your point, the Trayvon Diggs, he has the interception and the pick six. But on the very next drive, it's like, all right, we're going to read this guy like a book. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a little double move with Kendrick Bourne. He's going to bite on it because he wants the interception.
He wants another one.
We're going to score. Yeah. And they bounce back from both of these things. Like, the Cowboys teams of old, I feel like they might have, this might have broken their backs. Like, but they don't. Dak gets up. 100%. He's like, give me the rock. Let's go. So there were a lot of weird moments in this game. And a lot of times you felt like the Patriots were going to pull away. Every single time, Dak and that offense answered the bell, and then the defense shut the door at the end, and Mac had nothing in overtime. So I feel really good about the Cowboys because even despite that and despite the they find a way to win, and right now they're way ahead in the NFC East. They're looking good.
You're up, Carter.
Let's do it. Let's go across the pond. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, hosting an NFL game, 30th game in London since 2007. Just got off the phone with Urban Meyer. He likes what he sees.
Just spoke with Urban Meyer? What are you talking
about? Just spoke to him on the phone.
Trevor Lawrence said, or you did?
Trevor, I just talked to Urban Meyer. He was very, very happy with the team's overall resilience. Got to be able to protect the quarterback. But getting the first win is huge. Even though they didn't get it stateside. Losing streak, snap. Urban didn't know how to react right
there. Do you think they listened to the new Adele song in the locker room postgame?
Yes. Yes.
Urban was asked if he can actually enjoy the win as a head coach. Take a listen.
No, I can't stand it. No, I'm just kidding. I do. The actual game part you do enjoy. Obviously, it's a three-hour root canal. You know, Miami has a good team. You know, they've been some of the same struggles with injuries that we've been having. I enjoyed, I really enjoyed that locker room after the game. I think I enjoyed that more than the actual game.
Time now for GMFB Head Scratchers. Mr. Carter, what moment made you say, huh, in week six?
Actually, it was in this game. And if you know anything about Tua, you know he's just coming back off injured reserve. You know he's got a small frame. And questionable how strong his arm is. Try to throw the ball back across his body. And it's only a 2-deep zone. All he's got to do is throw this ball about 30 yards. It looks like this ball was at the Meadowlands and it ran into that wind. Remember the wind you see there, Peter?
Yeah. Whipping winds.
No, perfect conditions there, but you can see, and this is why I believe the Dolphins, they should make the trade for Deshaun Watson. Mm. They should make the trade now because he's not going to have big time talent. He's not going to get any taller. We're always going to be worried about his overall health. It just made me think, how good can you be in the NFL and be a small game manager? Mm.
Wow. Well, we have a lot to unpack from that all week, Chris. You're going to be here all week, my friend?
I am. I'm stuck with you all week.
No, we love having you. Let's get into this. Yesterday, the Packers played at Soldier Field, and Aaron Rodgers scored a touchdown. And when he got up, he faced the stands, and there was this moment.
Rodgers snaps it quick. Pressure coming. Scrambles to his right. Pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers.
All right, so my head scratcher is more like a table banger. It is the way that the Bears fans online and in my life are reacting to this. Hmm. I've sent a lot of memes, a lot of texts, I've seen a lot of tweets. If you are mad about this and you are insulted by this, feel that way. But there are some real pieces of cockamamie BS coming out of Bears fans right now saying, oh, he owns us, he owns the officiating. Stop saying that. You guys scored 14 points yesterday. It has nothing to do with that. Well, the NFC title game owns Rodgers. I'm embarrassed for you when I read that, when you say that. You would cut off your arm to even sniff an NFC title game as a Bears fan. Stop saying that. The first stage of recovery is acceptance. Accept it. He does own you. The reason he was playing in the home green uniforms yesterday is because he was at home. That's the reason. It's going to end. This is probably the last time he's going to come into that stadium as a Green Bay Packer. Sit back, relax, hope Jordan Love doesn't become Joe Montana, which he probably will. I just want to say that all of these petty complaints and stupid excuses about officiating this are beneath you as a fan base and as a city. You are Chicago, Illinois. Act accordingly. We will move past this. accept it, and we will move past it.
How would you like them to act? Like, what does that
look like? Dignified.
Nothing?
Dignified and or angry, but none of this finger-pointing and excuse-making and nonsense. Yeah. He goes in there, he wins, we'll get past it.
I don't know how Vikings fans do this every week. Vikings fans...
Here we go!
Hey!
I don't know how you do this!
That's me!
Chris, I don't get it! I don't know how you live like this week to week. They're up 11 with under 5 minutes up to go. The Panthers come all the way back. Win or loss, it shouldn't have to be this hard. Every week, every single week, the Vikings have to find some miracle way to win because they gave up the lead at the end.
Can you get a normal game?
Oh my God, can we just get a solid 16-10 win? I got this tweet after the game and I was laughing so hard. P-Track, we have lost a game in regulation overtime and missing a kick that if made would have won as time expired.
Yeah.
We've won a game in regulation overtime and making a kick that if missed would have lost as time expired.
Yes.
And it's only week 6.
Still getting started.
I they have the bye, I'm exhausted. I don't know how Vikings fans do this. I'm not a Vikings fan, I feel for you. I'm exhausted.
My daughter works for the team and I'm gonna send, I know she's been drinking an awful lot this season. I'm gonna send the Vikings the bill. I'll be there in 2 weeks when they play the boys. Raiders this week, and then the boys and the Vikings in 2 weeks.
I'm exhausted.
Vikings have a bye. They get to rest. We'll be back with more highlights right here on Good Morning Football. Don't go anywhere.
I love my purple.
Ravens, was it everything you thought it'd be, Kyle?
I mean, this was a shellacking. Baltimore is really good. They have not lost since week one to the Raiders. 34-6. And Lamar afterwards, get into it. Go ahead, Lamar.
You want to wait for something else. If it happens, it happens. We break a record, it happens. But we want something else.
We know what you want, Lamar, and you might just get it. You are sitting there at 5-1 in the AFC alone. The Bills can join them, of course, if they do beat the Titans tonight. Shrags. Hard to not be impressed by this Baltimore team. Looking at the rushing, they outrushed the Chargers 187-26. They held the ball for nearly two-thirds of the entire game. Time of possession completely dominant there. What was most impressive to you?
The complete dominance from all three facets. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look at the defensive side of the ball for the Ravens. We'll talk Lamar all week, I'm sure. The Chargers came in as one of the most exciting offenses. They were going for it on fourth down. They're going for it on third down. They were making huge plays. And the Ravens basically just broke their backs and said, no, you're a beatable team. Mm. They went 3-for-12 on third down and 1-for-4 on fourth down. We've made such a big thing about how Brandon Staley's been like, let's go for it. We did 4 times, only converted it 1 time. They got back to Sean Elliott on defense, the Ravens. He had his first career interception. He had a sack. He had a tackle. He's their kind of their hype man back there. He's a big part of this team, number 32. And my big takeaway, this felt like 2019 again. And this is kind of got that feel of when Lamar and Mark Ingram and they were doing the big trust. I don't know, these Ravens are feeling themselves. I kind of like it. Yeah. This is what they have. They've got the swagger and
Hall of Framey.
Hall of Frame indeed. Kind of like what I saw from the Ravens, not just on the field, but they have this kind of swagger to them where we should have lost to the Colts.
Danger.
We beat the Colts, and now we're going to run over the league. That was some performance yesterday to a team that's really good.
To me, they're in the same situation as a team Buffalo.
Mm.
You know, how are they going to get to that next level? And I love what Baltimore does. I love the way they start the season, preseason. You know what? We're going to win 20 in a row. You know why? Because they're keeping score. But it sets the tone and identity for the whole organization. Bisciotti, one of the best owners that you can have in pro sports, and Harbaugh, one of the top five that we have. His team is always buttoned up. You never hear excuses from him. But yesterday I saw something. One of his players get hurt. I think it was Pat Queen. He got hurt. Harbaugh, he's got a bad knee too. I watched him run to the field to see how that kid was doing.
Okay.
So sometimes it's just not in the numbers. But I know I got a lot of friends that played in Baltimore. They got a lot of respect for him. And I believe he's underrated as a coach. And what they do, you know, I call it organizational talent. It will get you a couple wins. They didn't panic. Remember you said week number one, hey, guys, don't overreact to week number one. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is a professional football organization.
Totally.
And that's what we saw yesterday.
It's like they're like a winning college program. You can count on them every year. They're going to get to 10 wins. But remember everybody's panic in the preseason? They had some injuries. Everybody's jumping the ship. No one wants to pick them. They're not going to do anything. And then yesterday, we see this trio of running back, which is so funny. It's almost like a send-up, like a spoof of the three guys that they had. They had Le'Veon Bell. They had Devontae Freeman. These are guys that you had on your fantasy team 4 years ago, or you picked up on waivers, and they all scored touchdowns. I think it's a huge credit to them, and I have to credit Bill Barnwell says, they should just keep doing this bit. Get Rudy Johnson a touchdown. Get Dominic Rhodes a touchdown. Get Marcel Schiff.
Joseph Addai.
Chris, who needs a touchdown on this team?
Well, the thing about it, you know.
Chris, no! Chris
Carter.
Who needs a touchdown?
Chris Carter.
Ray Lewis.
I want to throw out Marion Barber needs a touchdown.
Okay. I was on
Lee
to my next
Suggs
comment.
Needs a
Lee
touchdown.
Suggs.
Okay, give me a fantasy player from any time ever a running back who needs a touchdown.
I don't know. I
no, bring in the priest.
What do you mean?
Priest Holmes needs a touchdown. If they're just a rotating running back circus.
Lawrence Maroney.
You want a Lomo touchdown? Yes. What about Ben Jarvis?
Yes,
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Pretty awesome. I think it's a credit to them that they can do that, yeah. And it's Lamar and it's Harbaugh, and no one believed in this.
It's really a credit to the coaching staff, because one of the things NFL practices, it's hard to have continuity when you have guys injured.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the injuries they have and how well the team has gotten with the backup players. That comes from a great coaching staff.
I mean, I'm giving Coach Harbaugh my game ball in a couple seconds.
Yeah.
Way to just take it away from me there, Chris.
Well, give me more information.
Same wavelength
it's
there.
It's just more evidence.
I ask you, should I be worried about the Chargers? They've got a bye this week, but the Ravens smothered any chance of them getting anything going.
The reason why I don't worry about the Chargers is watch the press conference of the head coach. 3 weeks ago, what did he say? My quarterback is a gangster. Mm-hmm. That's why I went for it on fourth down. They have all the right tools. They just need some of that big toughness.
Okay.
They play in a nice stadium. They got a lot of nice stuff around them. They need a little more grit around that football team. Huh.
AFC Showdown on Thursday Night Football. Week 7 kicks off with Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos. They won the first three games. They are on a skid, losing three straight. They got to turn it around. Baker Mayfield and the Browns banged up but hungry to defend the dog pound. It's a primetime battle in Cleveland. Thursday Night Football this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, Fox, and streaming on Prime Video. We do have another game tonight, Bills-Titans. That'll be exciting. And Raiders-Broncos, also a very cool game.
Very cool game and a very bizarre, terrible week in a lot of senses for the Raiders. How's the football come out of this? How's the football come out of the John Gruden resignation? That is Rich Bisaccia. He's been a football man for 38 years. He's never been a head coach until this game against the Broncos. This was a Raiders kind of day. The Broncos hung around a little bit, but then the Raiders just poured it on 34-24. Rich Bisaccia from Yonkers, New York. We love you.
Yonkers, what's up? I think New Rochelle beat Yonkers in football.
Probably did.
Okay. I think so.
Great coaching.
Chiefs versus Washington. Sean Taylor, the late great, was honored before the game. That is his daughter. Obviously, very emotional scene. And Washington brought it for Sean's family and for all the fans the first half. And then the Chiefs got it going in the second half. They were down in this one 13-10 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. We would have plenty of Chiefs offense. It just took a while. It was the last quarter and a half. The first three quarters, though, next to nothing. An interesting win for the Chiefs. Did not feel as good as it looked on the scoreboard.
Let's go across the pond. Jaguars break the 20-game losing streak, 23-20. Trevor Lawrence, first rookie to win in London. I think that would deserve a little game ball.
They are happy. Take a look at the game ball in the locker room after the win.
Have a long, long career, many, many wins. This is the Trevor Lawrence first game.
Trevor!
Be grateful for the gifts you got to play this great game.
Yes, sir.
You do that most human beings who walk the planet can't do.
Yes,
that's number one. So always be grateful for the gifts you got. Number two, we're going to do it. The 904. We're going to get Jacksonville rocking. We got a great owner. We got the 904. Our vision, that dream, and that stadium going, blowing up someday. We're going to do it.
Love watching the distribution of game balls. Marvin Jones, love having that veteran in that locker room. How about this locker room here at this breakfast table? Time to hand out our GMFB game balls for week 6. Who was the top performer of the weekend in your eyes, Kyle?
Remember how good Peyton Manning was in his prime, and him and Marvin and Reggie and Dallas Clark and Edgerrin James? They would go against the Patriots all the time, in the Dome, in Foxborough, and Peyton never put up numbers that Dak Prescott put up yesterday against Bill Belichick. It's an unbelievably prolific thing, in which I am giving it to Dak. I will pull the curtain back on the Good Morning Football production process. Sometimes we submit who we think the game ball should be on Sunday. In the middle of this game, I said it's either going to be Dak or Mac. Whoever wins the game is getting it. Because I gave it to – because meanwhile, Carter's saying the Diggs gave him the espresso moment. And so you're, and then all of a sudden, this game is like, oh, my God, the Cowboys are going to win. And then 2 seconds later, Mac Jones to Bourne through the Massachusetts night. And I'm like, oh, now the Patriots are going to win. Mac gets the game. No, it goes to Dak, who 400 billion yards against the Patriots, whatever it was, and really big clutch throws to CD at the end. He gets my game ball.
Chargers, came into Baltimore. Tons of buzz in this one. We were like, high scoring game on both sides. Going to come down to the last thing. Given the way Justin Herbert's been playing, given the way we've been talking about Brandon Staley, calling him Ted Lasso, eating everything he says at the podium, the aggressive fourth down calls, all of it. But my game ball goes to Coach John Harbaugh because we just do not talk about him enough. I don't think we recognize him for what he does. He sees the opportunity to tell us all once again, he is one of the best head coaches in this game. All around team effort, the defense looked awesome. They absolutely smothered everything that the Chargers were trying to get done on offense. The run game thrived. Those three backs, we've been talking about them all day. It's supposed to be the game of the week. Ravens made it non-competitive pretty much from the start. That is credit to that man. And kind of that man alone for getting everybody going and keeping them going. It is hard to win more impressively than what I saw on the field yesterday. So, Ravens, I see you, and I'm scared of you.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable win for them, especially coming off that Monday night game where they were probably going to sleep at 2 a.m. on a Monday, where they should have. They pulled it out. Okay, great call.
Coach
with Harbs.
Of the year. Let's talk about it.
He's won it once before. Maybe he can win it again. All right, let's go back to our off-season shows where we do all these shows in March and April and May, and a lot of it's spinning plates. We're like, all right, there's no football news, but let's talk about something. And we make something out of it. We make lemonade out of lemons. A lot of conversations about the Arizona Cardinals and their free agent acquisitions this year. And it was like a lot of it with like a little bit of rolled eyes, a lot of it with a little bit like, all right, we've been down this road before. I'm giving my game balls to J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. I thought these guys were awesome yesterday. And if you go back to what everyone was saying over the offseason, it was like, all right, are they just closing out the final chapter of their careers? What are they? They're getting locker room leaders, but what are they getting on the field?
Peter, Nate was all in on A.J. Green, and you were in a little bit of eye roll mode.
I was. And then I went to training camp in August and saw A.J. Green absolutely dominating down there in Arizona. And the fresh start was everything he needed. He had the game-winning touchdown. He had five catches. He was fantastic. And then when they needed him most, J.J. Watt, who, again, eye roll for a lot of people. Sure. We haven't seen him healthy. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of J.J. Watt talk, and we got a lot of endorsements, but what are we really getting? He's been a defensive leader. He was fantastic yesterday. J.J. Watt was all over the field. So he strips Baker Mayfield. He then recovers the ball and then looks down at the ankle and says, hey, everyone, get on him. He's a defensive leader, too. So we talk about it a lot all the offseason, these veteran guys. What are they really getting out of them? They got a lot yesterday. They blew out the Browns in their building without their head coach. And that's a lot of the leadership from A.J. Green and J.J. Watt, also their production on the field. Mm-mm. They're my game balls, two veterans who have done it a lot of times in other places, doing it now for Arizona.
Well done.
I wish I could do a blind reveal on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just have their image kind of up there. 13 touchdown passes, two interceptions this season. Most touchdown passes through six games of his career, and he's been playing long enough to have a nice resume. But the most impressive thing is since week number 9 of 2020, 36 touchdown passes, five interceptions. That's 15 games. My game ball's going to the guy in the purple. I don't know where we'd be. We're 3-3 right now. Where would we be out? Yo, cuz. Kurt.
Yeah.
Dude is playing some football. I'm just going to tell you, Kirk Cousins hadn't been one of my favorite quarterbacks. Sure. I've been covering the Minnesota Vikings, but you got no complaints. 5 of 6 there in the overtime. Thielen, Justin Jefferson, now KJ Osborne. Congrats to Cousins for what he's doing there with the Vikings. Special, special recognition. He's more than a game manager and one of the most accurate quarterbacks that you can have in the NFL.
I'm sitting on my bench. I played Taylor Heineke instead, and I'm crying about it all day. I learned my lesson. Okay. Don't look at me like that.
What up, Chris?
You normally drop nuggets on me. That one right there, you dropped a little dog poo-poo on me.
That was incredible. Those are our game balls. Let us know who you want to distribute yours to, and you're our virtual locker room at GMFB. I have something really fun. This is pretty cool. NFL Knockout. You can play for free. It's by Caesars Sportsbook, guys. It's NFL Knockout. You have to answer 15 questions. That's it. Pretty fun. 15 questions about tonight's game, and you can win exclusive prizes, including a VIP package to this year's Pro Bowl in Las Vegas. Visit NFL.com/knockout. Highlights all show, but week 6 isn't over. Nope, it wraps up tonight. The Red Hot Bills going to Nashville to take on the Titans for Monday Night Football. Shrags, quite an opportunity for Tennessee. Turn it around, big stage, put it all together, pass the ball, run the ball, let's go.
You know, these teams played each other last year. They did, and the Titans won 42-16.
Isn't that crazy?
I think Buffalo knows that, and I think the Bills have something in store. Look at who wasn't on the field last year for the Bills when these two teams played. Matt Milano, Trey White, and Levi Wallace, those are three superstar players for that defense. Sure. They're all, I mean, look, they're going to be ready to go. They know what happened. You saw what they did to the Chiefs last week when they wanted to avenge a loss. I think this one could be Buffalo, and I know I saw the flights all on like Twitter.
Yeah, right.
It feels like the entire city of Buffalo was on a Southwest flight to Nashville over the weekend. Uh-huh. They're all coming down. I think Buffalo big. I'm sorry. I got the Bills in this one.
I think Buffalo and their coaching staff, they need to concentrate on the passing game that we haven't found for the Tennessee Titans.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, if this team, Tennessee, is going to get where they need to be, mm-hmm. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have to be themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't been themselves. That's why I have so much respect for Baltimore, with all the injuries they have, their pace on offense, it hadn't suffered because of lack of practice. But you can see in Tennessee, when Julio Jones doesn't practice, it's hard for him to play well. He's a big, explosive guy, and those hamstring pulls have been a hindrance of his career. So let's get that passing game going to make this a battle.
I look at his teammate. There's a fake news out there that Derrick Henry owns the Bills. It's because he once threw Josh Norman into the luxury boxes on a 5-yard run that was disallowed. He had 57 yards in that game. The time before, he had 78. The time before, he had 56. Derrick Henry struggles against the Buffalo Bills for whatever reason. He does not do the Derrick Henry thing. He's not a guy who talks a lot. I think he is heavily motivated to beat this defense, who, like most teams, can't figure him out, has had his numbers. Derrick Henry got to have a big night tonight.
Their defense, Tennessee, we expect more out of you this year. The passing game, we expected more. We're hearing A.J. Green himself saying he's on a snap count of sorts. What is that? Well, I don't know anything about what's going on, but they need to figure it out. That would be a massive statement from Tennessee if they can.
Massive. Flip the table in the AFC. I know.
Tennessee could pull the win.
Jump
and
the table.
What if
Jump
Henry
table.
Wins Aaron Angry Runs tomorrow based off of tonight? That's what I'm hoping for. Let's go, Buffalo fans. Come at me at GMFB. Just want to make it a little interesting. Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.